Record will indicate all the jurors are present, counsel are present, parties. Call your next witness, please.
Jonathan Ben-Dor.
Please state your full name for the record and spell your last name.
Jonathan Ben-Dor, capital B-E-N, capital D-O-R.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ben-Dor.
Good afternoon.
Are you presently employed by Illumina?
No.
Who is your present employer?
Axiom Biotechnology. You want my business card?
I don't need the business card. Thank you. Had you previously been employed by Illumina?
I have, from January of 99 through March of 2001.
If you could tell us briefly what positions you held with Illumina.
My former title was Senior Scientist. Initially, I had responsibilities for software development and for system administration.
What software were you responsible for developing?
The initial challenge was imaging processing software. Initially programmed to make sense out of what images were captured by the camera. As far as I recall, prior to my joining the company had contracted some other outside facility and they didn't get the results they wanted. And I joined. Within 6 months, the results were satisfactory, at least visibility-wise, they told me, and they had many other jobs that needed to be done.
When you say imaging, capturing what the camera showed, is that relating in any way to decoding?
Yeah, I had to design the code and debug it, document it, and algorithms. That's the method for doing things. We started from scratch.
I'm trying to get you to explain, if you can, how what you were doing related to the process of decoding.
Oh, essentially, the product of decoding would require that for every position on the fiber bundle, we would know whether it's occupied or not occupied by a bead. And if it was occupied by a bead, whether the bead fluoresced or didn't fluoresce with each image. If you only had one image, it would be a matter of basically detecting contrast, finding out essentially which parts of the image are bright and which ones are dim. And thereby, you could kind of determine the bright part that would be a fluorescent bead and the dim part that would either be absent bead or non-fluorescent bead.
What about if you were using more than one color in the process of using fluorescence?
If you have more than one color, you have to take the multiple images, and that would mean that the particular location, you could either have a fluorescent bead in one color or another color. So the absence of fluorescence would not mean there was not a bead there. It just would mean it didn't fluoresce in that color. The problem with doing multiple colors would imply you'd have to do a registration, basically looking at the same terrain, so to speak. But because of the way the images are acquired, there would always be some shift and minor rotation. If you think of it as an aerial photograph of an area, you're not taking it from a balloon, which is stationary, but from a flying airplane. And the image would therefore reflect or indicate there would be some issues of translation, movement from image to image. And the program would also then do a registration, finding some landmarks and two images to say I can now correlate them because I know this particular landmark is also at this place in this image, and that place is in that image. That would allow the translation. If you have two of them, you can also locate.
There was a lot of information for me.
Basically, the information is image registration.
You were trying to, in an experiment where more than one color was used, you were trying to determine what color lights up a particular spot or particular bead?
Yes. What beads light up in a particular spot and what color?
We'll come back to that in just a minute. When you worked at Illumina, Mr. Ben-Dor, did you work in what we've been calling the big room?
Yes, it was a very big room. And when I moved in, it was full of tables and no heads. Soon after I joined, we began occupying the room. I happened to occupy a small corner of the room. Just happened to be a little den, but it was still open to the entire room, except for a small part where there was a bookcase. Initially, there were, I believe, about 7 people in there, 30 desks and 7 people.
How about at the time you left?
At the time I left, it felt like there were 70 people in there. It was very, very, well, not very, very. It wasn't a sweatshop, but it was more crowded than comfortable for me.
Was Dr. Zarnik also located in the big room?
Yes, he moved in, I can't remember exact date, but a few weeks after this gradual movement into this big room, he moved in and occupied, initially occupied two desks, I guess, befitting his VP position. Most people only had one desk. I was surprised he didn't get the corner window desk, which is normally a status symbol.
Mr. Bendor, is it fair to say that when you were both working in the big room, that you would interact with Dr. Zarnik on virtually a daily basis?
I guess I would see him on a daily basis. Interact? Several times a week. I could not say a daily basis, but several times a week. Sometimes very informally, though. We had this tradition, if you want, of popcorn at 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the afternoon. And just to keep people motivated, if you want.
What about in terms of business discussions and business...
There were a few business discussions. Many of them were informal, because I did not... Well, it was the nature of the company. 20, 25 people. Most things were done in a very informal manner. You didn't need to set up and schedule an appointment a week in advance with somebody. You just walk up to the desk and say, "Do you have a few minutes? If so, let's talk. Otherwise, we can do it at another time." That was the nature of the interaction.
What was your observation during the time you worked with Dr. Zarnik at Illumina in terms of his work ethic and the amount of hours he worked?
I'd say that if I worked a lot, I don't think he worked less than me. I did not track him, okay? I did not check every day when he came in and when he left. But as far as I could tell, he was there most of the time. The times he wasn't there, I remember he was in some conference. Just happened to remember the times I asked, "Where is he?" because I want to talk to him and he's in some conference. I just assumed those conferences had to do with what the company's business is, because I wouldn't think he'd just be taking off without letting anybody know. In terms of what he did when he was at Illumina, well, I didn't stand behind his shoulder to see what he's doing on the monitor. From what I could tell, from the way he interacted with his people, and I worked with his people, with Changfeng and Shangbing, and what's his name, tall guy, Dickinson, what's his first name?
Todd.
Todd, yeah. Steve Barnard, I work with all those people. From what I could tell, they were pretty pleased with working with him. He definitely was giving them guidance, especially Shangfeng. I know there were several times when she had confided to me the fact she discussed professional scientific issues with Tony, and he had input and whatever. One particular thing comes to mind was what we could do. How many washes we could do. If you take multiple issues, you have to do a strip and a wash. There was issue how many of those things we can do. Especially pertains to how many colors we should be using. If you use only one color, you have to do more washes. I don't want to get into reason for that, but you have to do more washes. There was concern that we are limited by how many washes we can do because we lose beads every time and other reasons. I remember that particular issue was researched by Shangfeng and Tony's suggestions, which I thought was very nice.
Mr. Bendor, did you ever observe Dr. Zarnik do anything or say anything that caused any divisiveness or tension among the staff?
Actually, on the contrary. From my perspective, Tony gave the company a warm, home-like feeling. It's easy for a company with, you know, the startup stage to become, I won't say a sweatshop, but could become like a boot camp. Especially if you have a good drill sergeant or whatever, it could become that way. It takes the fun away out of working. From my perspective, and this is purely personal, I did not interview Tony before I started working there. So I only met him after I started working there. And so all the time that I was there, both in formal meetings and informal meetings, my sense was that people like Tony. And what's her name? Deborah. Gave the company a warm feeling. Like people you like to be around, even if all they do is make things feel good. So in terms of I never saw him instill divisiveness or anything like that, no. I would say that sometime I wish he was my boss, even though I also had a good boss. Sometimes I wish he was my boss.
Let me shift gears a little bit and ask you about Illumina's roadshow. Are you aware that at some point while you were employed there, Illumina conducted a roadshow in connection with its initial public offering?
It was impossible not to be aware of that. Company going public.
I have to ask some of these basic questions.
Yes, I was aware of it.
Okay. Do you recall a meeting, Mr. Bendor, at which Jay flatly spoke about what he wanted to say on the roadshow about the number of beads that Illumina could decode?
What I remember in connection with a meeting such as that was that there was an experiment. I don't know exactly how many beads. I don't want to identify. Somebody mentioned 768 something. It was in the hundreds. Basically, to be able to show we can decode. That we determine on each fiber exactly the locations of 768 different bead types, each of which would be the multiple locations. And the claim that was going to be made to the investors was that we shall, or we will be able to do, 2,000 beads. I was among the skeptics in engineering regarding that particular number. I felt that we did not have sufficient data to support making such a claim. I was willing to go with the estimate we were able to do 1,000. So there was this meeting in which, I don't know exactly what caused it, whether it was a memo or whatever, there was an issue whether we should say 1,000 or 2,000. And in that meeting, Jay Flatley basically said that we have to say 2,000 or else. And I don't recall the exact date of that meeting, but I went away from it with the feeling... By the way, his position prevailed.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but it seems like this continuation is non-responsive to the question.
It's a narrative at this point sustained.
At this meeting, what, if anything, was Jay Flatley told in terms of whether the company had scientific data to support what he wanted to say on the issue?
There were some people who said we had enough to support it. Mark Chi, I think, was only one. Engineering side was me. I think it was Bob Kane, too. It was more ambiguous. I mean, we were tasked with decoding 2,000. I felt, and I wasn't the only one who felt that way, that we lacked data to make that claim.
Did you express that?
Oh, yes. That was expressed.
What, if anything, did Jay Flatley say with respect to whether he needed data or wanted data to support what he wanted to say on the roadshow?
I don't recall anything to that effect.
Let's take a look, please, at Exhibit 269. Can you see that from where you're sitting?
Yes, I can.
This we've already seen in the trial. It's an email that Mark Chi sent on July 13th, 2000, to the members of the Roadshow team and some others.
The Roadshow was already in progress?
I'll object to examination of this witness with this document until a sufficient foundation has been laid.
I want to ask about some statements made in the email.
Has this document been admitted into evidence?
It has.
I think things have been identified. I'm not sure anything has been admitted yet.
It has.
So, Mr. Bendor, in any event, this has been discussed and admitted into evidence previously. I want to ask you about a few statements made in Mark Chi's email. In particular, this statement here, where Dr. Chi is summarizing the result. Dr. Chi wrote, "With Johnny's help, the white light images were registered yesterday, and we have initial analysis of the 768 decoding on the white light system. The results are excellent." Would you agree, sir, that the results that you looked at in connection with this 768 decoding experiment are excellent?
Objection, Foundation.
Sustained.
Did you do this work, Mr. Bendor?
Mm-hmm. I did participate in the effort to register the images.
Did you use the white light system as described here?
The images were acquired, I believe, on a white light system.
Did you review and analyze those images?
I participated in in running the program and getting the data.
So again, Foundation, it's not clear from the testimony thus far whether Mr. Bendor examined all of the results.
Did you have personal knowledge of... They're talking about an experiment of white light images in that paragraph. Is that right?
It's a white light camera as opposed to a color, and the images were acquired with that kind of camera.
Do you have any personal knowledge of that experiment?
The images were given to me...
Did you witness that, or do you know of your own knowledge, not based on something somebody told you about it, but your own knowledge? Did you witness that experiment?
No. I wasn't in the dark room when they took the images. Definitely not.
But you reviewed the images taken from the white light system on this experiment.
It was consistent with other white light images that were registered.
My objection again is foundational, as we know there are several different images that were generated. It's not clear whether this witness examined all of those images or only a subset of the images.
Did you examine all the images?
Yes. The way it was done, you didn't do them individually one by one because that was too laborious. You took a program that says the whole directory. You didn't have to do them one by one. So assuming the guys who captured those images put them where they are supposed to, all of the images, they were all registered. We did not do it manually one by one. It was too laborious.
Given that, Mr. Bendor, would you agree that the results that you looked at in connection with this experiment were excellent?
There's a word missing there. The word is the registration results were excellent. The decoding results, I don't know enough about it. For that, you need to know what was on the boundaries. You have to know to do an experiment to determine independently what's on the boundary.
Did you undertake to do that personally?
No, it wasn't my domain of responsibility.
Did you examine the separation that was exhibited on the images in connection with this experiment?
I'm not clear as to what the word separation implies in this particular image. I think I can make a conjecture what it means, but I'm not sure.
We don't want you to do that. Are you familiar with the concept of clustering?
Yes.
What is clustering?
Clustering is trying to determine what we do when we look at the night sky and see the Milky Way. You see all these white spots, whatever, and if you are fuzzy a little bit, you can kind of see a kind of cloud and say, that's the Milky Way. Whereas if you focus on one individually, it's just a white dot. So clustering is making clouds out of spatially related particles. That can be applied to a mathematical model to just about any variable that you could plot. For example, on an XY grid, you could plot students' heights versus temperature of the summer and do some clustering with that.
What does clustering mean in the context of a three-color decoding experiment?
It would mean that beads of a kind would show up as individual blobs in a 2D, 3D, or ND graph, depending upon what attribute of the bead you're looking at.
Did you or did you not, in connection with the work that you did on the white light imaging system, did you examine whether the clustering showed good separation among the colors?
The clustering was done by software developed by someone else. His last name is Baram, something like that, at Illumina. There was another group of people developing software under the direction of Mark Chi. And basically they, if engineering was to generate the images and do the registration, the rest of the decoding was essentially taken to be the territory of Mark Chi.
Nothing further.
Cross-examination.